everybody this morning. It's good to be here. I praise God for the time we get to come and worship. If I had to give a title for what I got to speak about this morning, it says, "Why do you worry?" Now, I figure there's a lot of us in here that don't worry. Now, up until like a couple of years ago, I couldn't say that a whole lot. But as a child of God, I found out real quick, worrying's not good. I'm going to read you some scriptures today we've all heard before, but I want to relate them to you as God related them to me and laid them on my heart. But Jesus commands us not to worry. And we all know, we're supposed to live our life modeled after our Lord Jesus Christ and His commands. One of the things a lot of people worry about, especially after being born again, that's who I'm going to talk to first this morning, is your past. When you become a born-again child of God, Sister Trace has been teaching us, we are a new creature. That don't mean we're changed and the same person. We've got the same body on the outside. But there's actually a new generation, a recreation went on inside of you. I, as humans, refer to it more as a feeling and an emotion, but that's not what it is. It's a recreation. That's what the thing is on the inside of you that wants you to eagerly seek God. That's the change. Now, once you get born again, God and Jesus don't look at your past. He says in the Old Testament, in Psalms, I think I got it written down here, we'll do it in a minute. He cast your sins and your transgressions as far away from you as the east is from the west. That's pretty blame far. I mean, that's pretty blame far. Because, I mean, just stop and think about it. If you were judged by what you used to be, trying to be what you're trying to be, where are you going to get? Exactly. God knows that. And because that recreation went on inside of you, you are now a new creature, as it tells us in the Bible, and you are to live that way. Don't look at your past. Even if you're not born again, it's not a good idea to judge yourself by your past. Move forward. And when you're born again, that's even more important. Don't look where you were. Look where you're going, what you can be, what God has gotten set in store for you and has already made in store. In victory, life, precious eternal life, life more abundantly here while we're waiting on eternal life to start, healing, no worry, no doubt. Now, sometimes it's not easy to get there, or at least for me, I didn't think it was easy to get there. Some people might be pretty easy. April made it seem real easy. You know, something come up and say, Oh, man, she said, hey, even before she was born again, she had this saying. She would say, there's nothing I can do about it. You know, it's going to be what it's going to be. And it might not have been real good, but she didn't worry about what was going on at the time for at least very little. And once she got born again, nah. She read those scriptures, and I've got some of them here. Put all your cares on the Lord, and that's what she did. She's, boom, they're gone. She'd get aggravated at me. Why are you doing that? And in my brain, I was doing it. And in my heart, I didn't really understand why. But as I got more and more into the Lord and into studying His Word, I seen what I had to do. Do you know worry is an achievement? You're not born worrying. Children don't worry. But once you start it, it's an achievement, meaning you have to practice it. Well, when you get born again, using your faith to cast down worry is an achievement. It shouldn't be, but it is. Well, it was for me. We'll talk about me. But I know there's other people that have problems with it. But the simple thing of it is, once you ever get past that step, that first step, you look back and say, man, why did I not do this before? This is not really hard. Well, I've been, you know, quite a while now. I don't really worry no more. Something will come up, and I say, okay, Lord, we had a major thing come up. And I said, Lord, I can't do this. You got to do it. Used to, I'd lose some sleep over major problems in life. The motor went out in our car is what happened. Didn't have the money to fix it. God provided. I'm going to, you know, praise God. He just provided. He does that. Our God is a good God. And I believe one of the keys to it was about the second day into it, all I did for the situation was start looking in avenues of fixing our problem. Because I said, Lord, I cannot do this. I don't have the money. I don't know where to get the money. And I'm supposed to cast all my cares on you. And this is a major one, Lord. Right now, this is a major care. So I'm going to cast it on you, and I'm going to just keep doing what I'm doing. And that's what I did. Now, we was out of a car for a few days, getting it fixed. That's the biggest problem we had. We missed church one time. I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm sorry. But anyway, we got a nearly brand new motor in our car. It runs better than it ever has. Praise God. I firmly believe if I had reverted back doing things the old way, the old me, instead of going forward to the new creation that I am, things would not have happened the way they should have, the way they did. Because worry is unbelief. Worry is doubt. And I'll show you in the scriptures, God, Jesus told us not to. God don't want us to. Look at it this way. If we reverse everything and we get born again and God doesn't take care of us, well, you're on your own. What? What do you got? Okay, you got eternal life. But then you've got to deal with the scripture says, Jesus said, I've come to give you life and give you life more abundantly. Then you got scriptures that says, I'm getting way ahead of myself, Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things be added unto you. And then you got scriptures that Jesus said, no man has laid down mother, father, brother, sister, family, houses, land, whatever, for the kingdom of God that he has not repaid twice over or more in this life and life to come. Or more times than that. That's virtually what it says. I'm paraphrasing a little bit. So if God says you're born again, you're not going to be cursed by sin, you know, the transgression of sin in your life, but you're going to live in this cursed earth and you're on your own, that's not good. Because we all know that in Genesis, mankind handed over the rule of this earth to Satan. But when you're born again, you can take that back. And praise God, worrying is not taking it back. It's going backwards. God does not want us to worry. Now, just like I was talking about the past, a good example of not looking to your past, the thief on the cross when Jesus was crucified. He told, the first thief said, if you truly are the Son of God, now I'm paraphrasing, it's in Luke chapter 23, I think. If you truly are the Son of God, you know, save us, rescue us off this cross and this death. And the other one rebuked him and said, can you not see that this man is innocent? He's never done anything bad in his life, and me and you ain't nothing but bad. And he told Jesus one thing, Master, whenever you enter thy kingdom, remember me. He didn't say, Lord, save me, forgive me my sins. But what he did was he showed that he understood who Jesus is, who he was at that time, who he is for all time, and he believed who he is and believed in him, and that was enough to get him into the kingdom of God, because Jesus told him what? Today, this day, you shall be with me in paradise. So don't, number one thing, don't worry about your past. You're born again. You know what your past is? The day you got born again to now, and you just things are just getting better. And even if you're born again, don't dwell on things that you might have tripped over, stumbled about. It says in 1 John, he is faithful to forgive us. Not only does he forgive our transgressions and take away the dominion and the curse of sin when we're born again, he also forgives us if we stumble. Because God recognizes your heart. Whenever you say, I believe, it means you say, I know. And when God sees your heart, when he sees that your heart knows, then his word takes action. He's faithful to his word. As most of us are in here, and myself, I am a witness to that. Now, my problem was, I talked about worry being an achievement. Before I stopped it, I was a mastermind at it. I thought it was It was my job to look after what it was that's causing me to worry and get it fixed. Now, before I was born again, I did that and worked at it. Sometimes I was successful and sometimes I wasn't. I don't know what the balance was, but it was one way or the other. Well, I'm born again now. When I finally get it in here, to where it'll go into here, and God sees my heart that I know that He's going to take care of me, and I had a revelation, and we're going to read about it today. When that revelation happened, I said, Lord, I don't want to offend You. I don't want to offend Your word. I don't want to offend Jesus. I don't want to make light of it. But help me, and He will help you. But I had my part to do. When you do something for so long and you do it wrong, it's hard to let go of it. But in the spiritual realm, serving our Lord Jesus, when you let go of it, praise God, I mean, it's like a 4th of July parade and fireworks inside of me it was. And I had my revelation. Like I said, it's just Brother Monty having his little revelation, but praise God I had it. I'm going to hang on to it because it works. And not only because it works, because I love God. Now, I have said that a lot of times in my life, but I got to think about it. When I tell my wife and my family I love them, that means I want to help them. I want to nurture them. I want to be a blessing to them. I want to guide them. I want to do whatever is best for them. Well, if I'm human, I'm a man, and I can think that way, how do you think God thinks about us? He's a lot higher than we are. He created us. That's where we get it from to start with. But praise God, it's like 100-fold. And whenever our heart gets into that new creation and we get our heart turned on to and lined up with the Word, God comes and He comes in. And man, I mean, until you experience it, all you hear me saying are words. But when I speak the words of how I experience it all over again because I can't shut up about it. Number one, He saved me. Me running around all them years thinking I was born again, I was just being a prodigal son. No, I was not a prodigal son. I was a lost soul thinking he was saved because I was deceived. I've testified and testified about that, and that's because I think somebody needs to hear it. It happened to me, and I'm nothing special. It can happen to anybody. And I say that because y'all all know I was born. I knew about going to church. And I knew about Jesus before I knew how to spell my first word in school. My first word I learned in school was red, R-E-D, in the first grade. It was by Mrs. Neese in South Carolina, Gloverville, South Carolina. I went to church at Belle Clear Heights in Graniteville, South Carolina. Mrs. Bolin was my Sunday school teacher before I went to school. And the first thing I remember her telling me is Jesus loves me and He died on the cross for me. I'm 64 years old and I can't tell you what I had for supper last night. But praise God, I remember all of that. And I also remember on April the 20th, 2014, here in this altar, I was changed. Now, God did all that for me. Why do I want to go backwards? I felt really bad about that. We are a divine creation. You are a divine creation. Your royalty. We're supposed to act and speak like it. Now, that mean we're better than everybody else? No. But praise God, we got something when you're born again that the world ain't got. And if the world sees it and we're doing it right, the world will want it. Maybe not for a season. But when the world gets to the end of their rope, if they know about a Christian person that can help them climb out of the hole they're in and take them to Jesus, lots of times they'll go to them. The old saying is, you know, there's no atheist in foxholes. Well, foxholes where the World War II, they dug a hole in the ground to keep from being blown up by bombs. That means they're saying, and when they're in the bottom of that hole and the bombs are going off, Lord, help us. The atheists were. You know what that means? Praise God, there is a God. It's a bad thing when mankind gets to the end of his rope before he turns to God. But it's a good thing when he gets there that nobody else can help him except God. Because then he knows that God is real. And it's a bad thing when a born-again Christian tries to do things without God, but it's a good thing whenever they find out they can't do it and turn to God and find out God is more real than they even thought he was to start with. And then it just climbs from there. The more you adhere to God's word and Jesus' commands and follow the word of God, the more God does in your life. And I say that because we're not perfect. We can all grow and learn and improve, especially me. But we are royalty. Oh, will you put up 2 Corinthians 5:20, please, Beth? We're also ambassadors. It says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. So now we're ambassadors. We're also priests. 1 Peter 2:9, please. But you are a chosen race. A what? Royal priesthood. God's own purchased special people. That you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. So we're ambassadors. We're royalty. We're chosen. We're special to God. We're favored by God. 1 Peter 2:9, please. Or did I already do that one? Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Revelations 1, 5, and 6. Now, I'm using a lot of scriptures. I don't mean to. I know it's a pain sometimes, but sometimes I go past 2 or 3, but this starts coming and I can't stop it. That's all I know to say. It says, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful and trustworthy witness, the firstborn of the dead, first to be brought back to life. Now, this is Amplified Classic interpretation version. The first to be brought back to life, and the prince and ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who ever loves us and has done for all, loosed and freed us from our sins by his own blood, and formed us into a kingdom, a royal race, priest to his God and Father, to him be the glory and the power and the majesty and the dominion throughout the ages and forever and ever. Amen. So we are chosen. We are royalty. We're not just somebody that God delivered and set aside. As it says in Jeremiah 29:11, he has plans for us. 2 Corinthians 5:18, you don't have to put that up there, Beth, but I'll just quote it or paraphrase it. We have the ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? God wants to reconcile everybody back to him. His chosen royal priesthood are the ones chosen to do that. In other words, we are God's representatives. We are God's ambassadors. If you want to lead somebody to Christ, and you're doing the same thing that they're doing, and they're not born again, how are you going to bring them to Christ if you're doing the same thing they're doing, and what they're doing don't work? I'm talking about worry. If you tell somebody, said, oh, Lord's, you know, the Lord is, you know, he blesses me. He provides for me. And then the next time they see you, oh, man, I tell you what, I'm about to do this. This is about to happen. This is about to go bad. This is about to go wrong. I don't know what I'm going to do. I lost sleep over that. Watch what you say, at least. We all know what it says in Proverbs. Life and death are in power of the tongue. If you don't mean what you're going to say, don't say it. At least keep it to yourself. It's still bad for you. Because if you get a thought, Brother Scott has taught us, Sister Teresa has taught us, even a thought that is not lined up with the Word of God needs to be cast down. It needs to be, stomped on, cast down. I do it sometimes every day. Just some stupid thought come in my brain. No, sir, I'm not doing that. I cast it down in the name of Jesus. I only speak what God's Word says. And that's what, I still love what Brother Scott says. I lay hold of that. And I'm not letting go of it. And I never will. Romans 8:16, please. The Spirit Himself thus testifies, together with our own spirit, assuring us that we are children of God. Did you hear that? We're children of God. And if we are His children, then we are His heirs also. Heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing His, God's inheritance with Him. Only we must share His suffering if we are to share His glory. Yeah, we got to go through some stuff. Now, if you don't worry, don't mean you ain't going to go through some stuff. There's going to be things happen to us that's going to cause us to suffer. There's going to be life events. Somebody might say, I don't worry about nothing. Well, maybe you don't, but that don't mean you ain't going to have nothing happen. I'm going to tell you that right now. Because since I've stopped worrying, I still have stuff happen. I'm going to have to, you know, we suffered through 2 or 3 days with our car. But God still came through. I didn't worry about it. I didn't say, when's this going to happen? I know it's going to happen. I just don't know when it's going to happen. I don't know how it's going to happen, but it happened. So if you're a child of the Most High God and joint heirs with Christ, there is not a single reason, good reason, that we should worry. Now, used to, I would argue with you. Ask Brother Richard. Before I got my mind and my heart changed and lined up with the Word of God, I would argue with him. I said, well, yeah. I don't even remember what all I said. He'd get aggravated at me. But thank you for putting up with me, Brother Richard. He loves me. I know he does. I love him. But since I experienced that new creation in my life, I ain't going nowhere. The only place I'm going is forward. One day I'm going to be with the Lord. And when I get there, I'm assuming it's possible. I want to hug Jesus. I want to fall at His feet and hug His legs, whatever, and tell Him thank you. I mean, if somebody does something good for you, and when you go to them and you just want to, thank you. You know, for guys, we don't do a whole bunch of huggy stuff. But, you know, I know you women do. I say y'all hugging all the time. Every once in a while I get kind of side hugging my brothers here at church because, you know, you got to be careful about that. But I want to hug Jesus and just tell Him I love you, thank you. Because I knew where my life was going. It wasn't half been there. I got hooked on drugs. I was in jail. I got out and said, I'm not doing that no more. I'm going to live for God. And then next thing you know, I'm hooked on drugs. I didn't go back to jail. And I got off of drugs. I'm still going to give God credit for that. And I wasn't born again. But my life was upside down. And it stayed nearly upside down until I got born again. And it seemed like it was still kind of upside down because I was in deceit or deception. A born again child of God, the devil can't do nothing to you. He can't hurt you. He can't kill you if you don't let him. And God's not going to let him until he's at least through with you here on earth. And I still don't think he's going to let the devil kill you. Now, you might say, okay, I am. Now, if you get to the point to where you really are doing God's will in your life, God's going to hold you up like a prize. Y'all remember what it says in the first couple of chapters of Job? The devil's running around here and to and fro, and it comes a certain season. They met, you know, and somewhere in heaven. I'm paraphrasing. And what God say, have you considered my servant Job, a faithful and righteous man? He's holding him up, praise God. Now, Job went through a lot. I've not been through what Job's been through. And I'm not getting all into all of that. But God held him up because of his faithfulness and his righteousness, but he still had a little work to go be done on him. But when he got through, what does it say? When he got through that, and God held him up and God allowed him to go through that, he was much more than he ever had before he went through it. God held him up. He suffered. He went through it. And then God rewarded him. God will do that for us. We're born again. We are children of the Most High God. We need to think like it. We need to act like it. You say, well, how do I do that? Number one, in your thinking, if it don't line up with the Word of God, like I said a while ago, cast it down. If it lines up with the Word of God, lay hold of it. And then act like it. It's hard to act like it sometimes. What does that mean? When you come into something, now you don't have to just lie about it. But you don't have to, you know, come crawling in here to church. And, oh, goodness gracious, a lie. You know, it's like Jesus told the people, you know, when you fast, don't let it look like that you are fasting like the people that wants to look like they fasted so they'll get some kind of glory out of it. Whenever you do what God says to do and you lay hold of the Scriptures and line yourself up with His Word, when He holds you up, and you, even if you have to go through some suffering, when you get through it, He's going to hold you higher. And that's where my revelation came in. We're commanded in Jesus, by Jesus, I want to put up Matthew chapter 5, starting verse 25, please. I probably need to read that out of my Bible. Might be easier. I didn't put that one on there. I'm sorry. Yeah, that'd be fine. No, 6. I'm sorry. Matthew chapter 6. I got it wrong. Matthew 6:25. This will be fine. This is Jesus talking. As Brother Scotty says, it's in red letters in most of the Bibles. Therefore, I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried. In the King James Version, it says, take no thought. I looked that up and studied it. You know what that means? I didn't write it down. The Greek word for that means, don't be anxious. Don't worry. You're not even supposed to think about worrying. We ain't. So if you think about it, and you think about it, and you think about it, you're not doing what God wants you to do. It says, therefore I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious and worried about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life greater in quality than food? Is your life, you know, you're breathing life, you being alive, is that not greater than food, than eating? So pay more attention to what you're doing with your life than where you're going to get your next meal. Don't be anxious. Therefore, don't be anxious. And I got a whole. I'm going to start all over. Therefore, I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life, what you shall eat, or what you shall drink, or about your body, what you shall put on. Your clothes. Is not life greater in quality than food, and the body far above and more excellent than clothing? And the body, meaning we are God's creation, even the body is God's creation, even though it's flesh. Our spirit inside it, our soul inside it, is more excellent than clothing. It says, Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. You see that word, keeps feeding them. He hasn't stopped. Are you not worth much more than they? If you go back to Genesis, and God said, let us make man in our own image. He didn't say that about the animals. If God's going to take care of the animals, why would He not take care of His own? He will. And who of you, by worrying and being anxious, worrying and being anxious, again it says, can add one unit of measure, cubit, to his stature, to the span of his life. Now I'm going to stop right there. I'm 5 foot something. I'm going to tell you right now, if worrying would make you taller, y'all ain't got nothing on me, because I'd be the tallest person in here. Used to be. Now that don't mean if you don't worry, you're going to get shorter, I hope. No, I know it won't. I ain't shrunk because I stopped worrying. My stress level did. So, you know, used to, when I read this scripture, I've read it 100 times, just like all of us have. And I'm sure everybody in here has. I'm not, but God told me to speak this today and to say what's in my heart, so I'm speaking what's in my heart that He gave me. You can't change nothing worrying. God created you. He's going to provide for you. You ain't going to grow none if you want to grow that way. So, you know, why you do it? I don't know. I do know. But most people tell you, I don't know. But I do know. It's because it's what you let go in here and what you let seep down in here and let what you let come out. And it says, and why should you be anxious about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field and learn thoroughly how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. They don't work. They don't do anything for reward. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his magnificence, excellence, dignity, and grace was not arrayed. I looked it up. That word arrayed in the Greek means clothed. Now, there is, even the lost world recognizes the dignity, the wisdom, the wealth of King Solomon. They will have it in their sayings. And even Solomon having all of that, he was not clothed as good as the lilies of the field. Go ahead, Beth. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and green, and tomorrow is tossed into the furnace, meaning, you know, it's gone, will He not much more surely clothe you? This next phrase was my revelation. O ye of little faith. Man, that cut me. O you of little faith. That's my revelation to stop worrying. I love God. I don't want to do anything to offend my Lord and Savior. And what does that mean? Jesus put aside the shame and the suffering of the cross to get to the joy He's seen on the other side of it. Not only for Him, but for us. When I worry, I'm making that non-effective in my life. I'm born again. But if Jesus went through all of that to give me all of that, and God to give me what my life is and what my life should be, and I don't take it and use it, and I go backwards with it, that's not good. So it says here, it says here about 5 or 6 times in this passage of Scripture, take no thought, saying, or take no thought at all. That means simply, do not be anxious or worry. The word anxious means is to worry, period. I mean, everybody here knows what worry means. I ain't going to go into a school lesson about that. So it says here, if God loves us, and He does, and we're His children, royalty, made in His image, and He takes care of the animals and the grass and the trees and everything else on earth, He's going to take care of us even more. And when we worry about that, boom, O you of little faith. That hurt me. I love God. Because like the parable of the talents, of the servants with the talents, when I enter into the kingdom, one of the first things I'd really like to hear in my brain, you know, humanly brain and mind and heart, is the Lord tell me, enter in, you faithful servant. Now, I'm not the smartest cookie around, but when God tells you that, and then you've not had but a little faith, I'm not sure that He's going to tell me that, to be honest. Why would He reward my little faith when He wants me to have much faith and faith in Him? Now, I might can have faith in little things with the Lord. But 1 Peter 5:7 tells us to cast all our cares upon Him. So if I cast all my cares upon Him and I've got my faith in Him and I've only got little faith, then I'm not casting all my cares upon Him. That means I'm lacking. That means that when I enter in, I don't figure I'll here enter in my faithful servant. I don't know about each and every person in here that's born again, but when I enter in, I want God to be proud of me. That's the only word I know how to use. I want him, I know he loves me, but I want him to hold me up. And it's not a pride thing. It's because I love him. I want to please him. Has anybody here not ever wanted to please your parents? Same thing, but even more so. I want to please the Father in everything I do. Now, I'm going to fall short because I live in a cursed world, and sometimes I'm going to miss it. But if I know I miss it, I'm going to turn around. I'm going to be the try to be the first one to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I repent. Help me find the way if I don't see it. Right here is the instruction book for your life, for your soul, for everything you need. Now, was my motor in here? It didn't say Monty's motor's in such and such chapter and verse, but it did say in these verses, he's going to supply and take care of me, all the things I need. And it does say in there, he will supply all my needs according to his riches and glory. We needed a motor for the car. In this society, it's hard to operate. I don't own a horse, and it's hard to operate to walk. I've got a motorcycle, but I really get cold pretty easy. I don't like riding it when it's cold. And the rain, I really don't like in the motorcycle. I guess if I had to, I would. But it's hard to operate in this society without a vehicle. So that was a need. God met and exceeded it. I want to give him honor and praise and glory. Now, I had to do my part, like I said before. But that was my revelation. Oh, you of little faith. That hit me. I'm not pushing it on anybody else. That was what the Holy Spirit said to me. So I got to turn around back up now. I got to start going back to all these scriptures I heard all my life growing up that I've heard for 10, 15 years. 12 years, how long have we been here now? 10? 11. I was getting close to it. Boom, 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 boom. I'll get one of them. All the scriptures and what I've been taught, I've got to go through them again, and I've got to really bear down and say, Holy Spirit, I need to see. I need this. I want it. It says, further over in the front of this chapter, blessed are those who or hunger, for they shall be filled. Now, I'm not necessarily trying to be blessed by anybody but God, but I hunger for the Lord. And I want to be filled by the Lord and His Word. I don't want to be filled by the world. I'm 64 years old. I've seen a lot of what the world has to offer, and there's nothing out there, young folks. Y'all know I play a guitar. Whenever I was younger, all I dreamed about was getting in a rock band. I mean, making it big, boy, getting up there and playing music and make a bunch of money on the side. That's all I dreamed about. I don't worry about that. I don't care about that no more. I don't want to be no rock star. I want to be a faithful servant to the Lord Jesus Christ and my Father in heaven. I still get to play my guitar. I can pretend I'm a rock star in the living room. Woo-hoo. Y'all seen it on Facebook. But I get to come to the house of the Lord and use the talent that He gave me and the anointing and play His music and worship Him and praise Him, and I love that. Now, I'd really like to be able to do that, but I've got ministry and stuff that I do here and planned here. God ain't said to go do that, so don't worry, Brother Scotty, I ain't going to do that. You'll be the second one to know if God says you need to go do that. And a lot of people, I'm going to tell you this, a lot of y'all come to me and tell me, you know, that sounded good. Thank you. But it's God giving it to me. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Without me, you can do nothing. That's the number one step. When you realize and you put things in order in your life, God first, Jesus is Lord. Follow Him. And like Jesus said, if you love me, do my commandments. But anyway, that was my revelation. And it says in verse 31, therefore do not worry and be anxious, saying, what are we going to have to eat, or what are we going to have to drink, or what are we going to have to wear? For the Gentiles, the heathen, the lost people that are not God's chosen race and children of God and born again, wish for and crave and diligently seek for all these things. They work all their life for these things. And Lord help them. A lot of them work and don't get what they need, especially in this day and time. And your Heavenly Father knows well that you need them all. Okay, go ahead, Beth. Now, you might think that this should have been my revelation, right? About not worrying. But I have read this scripture, and I read it. It was not my revelation. Oh, you have little faith was my revelation. But the key to it is, seek and aim and strive after first in all His kingdom and His righteousness. His way of doing and being right. Then all these things taken together will be added, be given to you besides. So do not worry or be anxious about tomorrow will have worries and anxieties of its own, sufficient for each day in its own trouble. Meaning, if you're in today and you're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow and you ain't even got there, I mean, goodness, that should be self-explanatory. But it wasn't to me, so I understand. Why worry about tomorrow when you're living in today? If you're not going to worry about your past yesterday because you're living in today, don't worry about tomorrow. When you're born again and God is your provider and you're seeking His kingdom and you're doing everything in your power to operate in His will that He's given you, you won't have to worry. And if you do, pick this up. It don't matter where, open it. Paul said all scripture is good for doctrine, for instruction, for reproof, and for instructions in righteousness. All scripture. He knew the law forward, inside, and backwards, everything he'd been taught about it. But he also had been anointed and had revelation from the Holy Spirit. Completely all his own plan for his life to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. That's us. We're not of the direct lineage of Abraham. Anybody that was not is a Gentile in that day. But, praise God, through Abraham, I have the blessing of the Lord and His favor. I don't want to worry no more. Put it this way, if worry is money, we'll just use that because everybody likes money, wants money. If worry is money, and when you worry, it goes away from you, and somebody's standing over there going to give to you, but they can't give to you because you're worrying and throwing it away. Well, that's what the Lord's doing. He's sitting over here with all of this for you. And when you're sitting over here worrying, you're throwing it all away. So he's going to say, okay, when you get it right, you're going to get it. It's all here waiting on you. It's all in His Word. Everything. Now, we all get rain and air to breathe and things that He gives for life. But when we're born again, we are favored in the royal priesthood of God. And when you're walking in the center of God's will for your life, it don't matter what comes at you. Stay there. Don't go, don't look to the past. As far as looking to the future, look for what God tells you to look for, Lord willing. Now, that don't mean you can't think about it. If you want to have a thought about it, but don't let it get outside the confines of the Word, the alignment of the Word. Don't worry about, well, what am I going to have tomorrow? What am I going to do this tomorrow? Because as born again children of God, it has already been set forth in better than stone. It's in a covenant of His Word through the Lord Jesus Christ. And it cannot be taken away, but it can be not given. It's our choice. Now, I firmly believe that some of the things that, you know, I worried about, because it says in the Bible, and Brother Scott has told us and showed us in the Bible, I don't remember where it's at, I know he does, if His own chosen people in the Bible and Old Testament limited Him to what He could do because of their worry and unbelief, what do you think? I mean, we're still, you know, we're just on a different I'm going to use the word page, for lack of a better word, but a different covenant, same covenant, but a different way. We are His children, so we'll be the same way. We can limit God what He does for us in our life, and worry is one of them that does it. And it's really easy for Satan to do it because, number one, it feels like it's right. I'm going to tell you from experience. Before I was born again, and I I told you, I worry. Well, I need to worry about this coming up because I've got, you know, I've got to make sure of this and make sure of that. I got to the point to where I did it about every little thing. So you know what that made me? A worrier. I was, you know, I had a trophy for it, I'm sure, if there's such a thing you could have one. And then I get born again, and I've got the Word of God telling me, don't worry. But I've got this big trophy thing inside of me that I've used all my life, worry. Because if you don't worry, you can't fix what your problem is. That's bull. Because if you don't worry, God can fix what your problem is. And that's what you want to start with. Because no matter how good me or you can fix our problem, God can fix it a lot better. I mean, a lot better. I don't care if I could have got a brand new motor to put in that car. The one God's given me right now is a lot better. I believe that, and I'm going to say that. Well, my time's up. I guess I better stop. Got to keep on. But anyway, I want to encourage everybody, don't worry. And I'm going to tell you from experience, it's a spirit killer inside you. It won't kill your spirit, but it'll hurt you. That's all I got this morning.